Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of our Lord from the Gospel reading, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." This is our text. Sometimes people just tell you what you want to hear. Maybe they simply don't care about telling you the truth. Maybe they're being condescending. Maybe they think that what you want to hear is what will allow them to get what they want out of you. And if you know what they're doing, if it's one of those manipulative times, it makes you angry. It's belittling. It means you really don't matter. You're just being used or abused or ignored or pushed aside. Sometimes children do this to their parents, say what they think their parents want to hear. Sometimes spouses to each other. Sometimes friends do it too, just say what they want to hear. You know, there are times when it just becomes completely absurd, like when you go to the doctor's office and tell the doctor that everything's fine when it's really not, as if that's what he wants to hear, when really it's what you want to hear. We do that because we want to believe that we're fine, that we're okay. We don't want to deal with the truth. Today, we get the truth from Jesus. Now, I know we always get the truth from Jesus, but today we get the truth from Jesus that we would prefer not to believe, not to hear. The truth that it would be easier not to have to deal with. And what truth is that? The truth that following Christ and his word may put us at odds with the world, it may divide families, it may even lead to losing your own life. 600 years before Jesus, the prophet Jeremiah had a similar message. But in the time of Jeremiah, there were other prophets as well, some who didn't speak the truth, some who just told the people what they wanted to hear. We heard about one of those prophets today, a false prophet by the name of Hananiah. Hananiah was telling the people of Judah and Jerusalem things like this: "Everything's okay. You're okay. God's not unhappy with you. In fact, God's about to restore the kingdom and to restore you, and happy times are here again." That was Hananiah's message. The people liked hearing it. According to Hananiah, they didn't need to repent. They didn't need to change. They were all good. Jeremiah, on the other hand, was speaking something much different. He told the people, "You're not okay. You've been unfaithful to the Lord. God's not good with that. And he's about to bring judgment on you. There won't be a restoration, but there will be more losses, more suffering, more people being hauled off as prisoners of war and exiles." You can imagine how that message went over with the people. Of course, the people wanted to believe Hananiah and not Jeremiah. They liked his message better. But Jeremiah said in the end, "What you want to hear isn't what matters." Which message is true? The true prophet doesn't say what the people want to hear. The true prophet speaks the truth, even if it's a hard truth, even if it's a truth that hurts. And that's what Jeremiah did. He spoke that hard and cutting truth to the people of Judah and Jerusalem. And within just a couple of years, it came to pass just as Jeremiah said. Judah was conquered. Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was torn down. The people became prisoners, and some were taken into exile. You tell me, were the people better off listening to Hananiah for a couple of years about something that was untrue, or hearing what Jeremiah said that was true, that would prepare them for what was coming? The Christian life is hard because the truth of God's word goes against our very nature, and it goes against what we want to be true. For the truth is, we also like Hananiah's message better than Jeremiah's message. We like those who tell us we're okay just the way we are. We like those who tell us that we don't have to change. We like those who tell us that God likes us and will bless us and protect us because we're pretty good people and we try hard and we do our best, by golly. But that's not what Jeremiah said. It's also not what Jesus said. For who lives up to the standard that Jesus gives us today? Who is worthy of him? Remember what he said? Whoever loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Can you imagine what would happen if Jesus were living today and someone caught those words on a cell phone? The news would go viral instantly. It'd be all over the internet, and it would be the end of his ministry as Messiah. Not what we want to hear, Jesus. Not what we want to hear. Well, not just today, because that's actually what happened in Jesus' own day. Words like that were what got Jesus put on the cross. He didn't say what people wanted to hear. He didn't try to save his life, so he lost it. He lost his life, brutally. And because he lost his life, there is life for us. Because he spoke the truth, we know the truth, unpleasant as it may be. We're not worthy of him. We're not worthy of eternal life. We have loved others more than we love him, and we have loved our stuff more than we love him, and we love ourselves more than we love him, and we try to save and hang on to these things that we love most, our lives and our reputations and activities and stuff, more than Christ and his truth. And you can tell that we love other things more than Christ when we say things like this. I know I shouldn't say this, but... Or I know I shouldn't do this, but... Or I know this is wrong, but... We're not worthy of him. St. Paul teaches the very same thing. He says this is the reason that God gave the law, that sin might be shown to be sin in us, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. Sinful beyond measure. You see, the law shows us that we're not just a little sinful here and there with a few blemishes, but we are thoroughly sinful. Sinful through and through, not one part good and one part bad, but sinful and sin-filled and unworthy. St. Paul even says that if it weren't for the law, he wouldn't have known that the law says, you shall not covet. Maybe other things are kind of obvious, like don't steal and don't murder, but that the law cuts as deep as our heart is something he wouldn't have known apart from God telling it to him. We are unworthy of life or anything else from God. And these aren't the things that we want to hear either, that we are unworthy or sinful and sin-filled, but this is one step in receiving life from Jesus, knowing the truth about ourselves and confessing the truth, as we've already done today, I, a poor, pitiful sinner. And yet here's the good news, that being unworthy does not mean that we are unredeemable. Jeremiah spoke the truth, and Jesus spoke the truth, so that we would not only know the truth about ourselves, but so that we would know the truth about him. True hope is found not in us, but in Christ. True worthiness is through Christ, and specifically through his cross. Now, St. Paul says that we are unworthy because we are obligated to fulfill God's law, to fulfill all of his law, and to fulfill it perfectly through and through. And we don't. So we deserve death and eternal dying. And the only way to be set free from that obligation, St. Paul says, is to die. Because once you die, the law doesn't have any control over you anymore. St. Paul uses the example of marriage. When a spouse dies, that person is free to marry again. You're set free from the laws of marriage. They don't apply anymore. That's the way it is with God's law. Once we die, the law is done and finished. So here's the way it stands. If we don't fulfill the law perfectly, we're going to die, but the only way to be free of the law, free from the obligation to keep the law, is to die. So either way, St. Paul says, we're going to die. Now, some might say, why bother? Just do whatever you want. Don't worry about right and wrong, because it doesn't matter if we're all going to die anyway. And that's exactly how some people live. But what if there were a way to life? A way to die and be free from the obligation of fulfilling all the law, and then to live in the freedom from the law. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something worth knowing? Wouldn't that be something worth living? So that we don't just live for a while and then die, but now also die and then live. And that's exactly what Jesus came to do. Not just to die on the cross, but to die and then live so that we can die and then live. Think of it this way. Think of the use of a knife. A knife in the hands of a criminal is a weapon of death, but a knife in the hands of a skilled doctor is transformed. It becomes an instrument of life. That's what Jesus did with the cross. The cross for the Roman Empire was a weapon of torture and death, but the cross with Jesus on it is transformed into an instrument of life. For on the cross, Jesus gives his life to death in order to take his life from death again, and in taking his life back again in his resurrection, he provides that same life from death also for you. His cross is the instrument of our life. And so on the cross, Jesus becomes the unworthy one. On the cross, Jesus becomes the sinner. On the cross, Jesus takes the sword and the division, and he loses his life. He takes all that your peace-shattering sin can throw at him, and he dies for it. And because all of it was thrown against him, it's not thrown against you. The cross does not kill you eternally. But in fact, the cross of Christ saves you. When he rises from the dead with his new life, dead to the obligations of the law, there's nothing left to throw against you because he paid for all of it. He took all of it. All those threats, all those stones, all those arrows leveled against you. He already bore them. Satan was ready to hurl them against you, but instead they fell on Christ and they are now gone. And he used them up on Jesus so that now you and I have peace. Now we have peace in Christ, and now we have peace forever, and now we have a new life, and now we have a new way to live, and now we have a new hope and a new freedom. And you get that now as you die and rise with Jesus. Already happened to you in your baptism. Baptism is on my mind today because today is my baptismal birthday, 39 years ago. At a font in Michigan, same day Becky Skorko was being baptized here. You can remember your baptism as well. For in your baptismal waters, it wasn't that you did anything, but in those waters, Jesus makes your sins his, and he makes his forgiveness yours. He made your death his, and his death yours. And he made your life his, and his life yours. And your unworthiness his, and his unworthiness yours. Out of the waters of holy baptism you have come, and you are still today a new person with a new life and a new way to live and a new hope and a new freedom in Christ. That's what you have, and that's what you are. Life from the dead, so that you are no longer living to die, but now you are dying to live. So Jesus maybe doesn't tell us what we want to hear. He may not be scratching our itching ears, but he tells us what we need to hear. And this, in fact, is what we truly and ultimately want to hear. That we don't live simply because of who we are or what we do, but we live because of him. He doesn't tell us that we're okay. He tells us that we're forgiven. He doesn't tell us that we're good, but he tells us that he has goodness for us. He doesn't tell us how to overcome sin and death, he tells us that he already overcame sin and death for us, so that now we live in him. Now we live not for ourselves, but for others. Now we live with his cross, not as an instrument of torture, but as an instrument of life. He lived for you, dear Christian, to set you free to live for others, a freedom greater than any other. And so in Jesus we have not only what we want and what we need, but we have him most of all. In Jesus' name, amen.